You're listening to The Point. 15 years ago, Abdi Iftin was living in Somalia with his family and his pigeons, birds that he raised, trained, and raced. After escaping the war in Somalia, Abdi eventually ended up in the U.S. and eventually on Cape Cod as a student in the Transom Story Workshop. While here, he visited Fall River to meet a person who shares his passion about pigeons. The experience brought back a flood of memories. Here's Abdi Iftin with his story.
I'm here in a pigeon loft in Fall River. I'm with Paul Prera. He's a former president of the Fall River Pigeon Racing Club. I'm whistling to his pigeons. It's something that he doesn't do.
Come on. You're making me try to do it, so it's kind of tough, you know?
That's actually what I used to do. I was like... Paul owns 100 pigeons. When I first walked into his loft, two things caught my attention. The unforgettable smell and the different colors of his pigeons. There's a blue, dark red, brown, sandy colored, sky blue, and the creamy beige. Meeting Paul's pigeons felt like family reunion for me. It took me back 15 years ago when I raised 300 pigeons in Somalia. Every single one of them had a name. There was Burka, Dumblil, Blilka, Kahwo, Dunkahwo, Shankar, and the list goes on. My pigeons lived with me in my family home. I trained them to race. My pigeons were more than birds to me. They were actually a peaceful escape at a time of war. They eased my mind. But, unfortunately, Somalia's capital Mogadishu was covered in blood from the civil war.
At least a dozen people have been killed at a hotel in the Somali capital Mogadishu in an attack by...
Several times, my family fled from our house because the war was too close. But my pigeons did not. They stayed behind, and they survived the shelling. Whenever we came back, there they were, all over the house. I realized not even war could separate us. Flat was the name of my first pigeon. I got him when I was 12. A friend of mine wanted to get rid of him. I traded my soccer shirt for Flat. Flat barely had feathers. He was thin and he seemed sick. The name Flat means rough in my Somali, and that's what Flat looked like, rough. When I got Flat, I kept him in my room, actually under my bed. That's where I took care of him because I was trying to get him away from cats and other predators that eat him. When his feathers grew in, he just came out with a wonderful collar, and that was the Mosaic Birmingham Roller. And he also had colorful eyes. One was black and the other one was brown. And he was gorgeous. When Flat got his full wings, I took him out to teach him how to fly home. At first, I would travel a mile and let him loose. Then 2 miles, 3 miles, and eventually 35 miles. Flat came home just a few hours later. I started to raise Flat with my friends and their pigeons. We rode in a donkey cart for miles, all this time Flat in my hand. We rode through scrub brush, dead bodies, unexploded bombs, burned cars, just a ghost town. Sometimes we came across militias hanging out with their guns. They would look at us, but because we were children, they would have no interest in focusing on their next targets. We were lucky we survived. Flat was always the one I put on a race. And he was the only one who always came first out of all my friends' pigeons. He was a winner. Once he was the only one out of 20 other pigeons that came home. That's who Flat was. When Flat gets home, he would just show off. He would dive down from the sky and do some acrobat, just circle around the house and spread his wings, and he clapped his wings in the air like he won a marathon. He loved to fly. It was his freedom.
What we do is we bring our birds there and we chip them in. Each bird has an electronic chip on them, which scans over...
In Somalia, pigeon racing is very simple. It's you and your pigeon. No bracelet, no band, nothing. You take the pigeon out, you let them loose, they come home.
This is a conditioning mix, a little higher on the protein, some safflower, pigeon peas.
Pigeon food in Somalia is also very simple. I fed my pigeons with whatever I was eating, corn, wheat, rice. Some days I wouldn't have even anything to eat. So my pigeons would realize that. They would just fly around and graze and eat whatever they could find.
Right over here, I have a conditioner also mixed in.
Paul keeps his pigeons inside the covered loft all the time because it's cold and rainy here. But in Mogadishu, it's always sunny and warm, so my pigeons didn't need a loft. They flew over the skies in the city. They would just come and go as they pleased. They were free. Paul's pigeon loft is fancy, and it's separate from his house. His family don't even sometimes see his pigeons. But Paul's loft is the same size as the house where five of us lived in Mogadishu, even fancier. When I was 17, my brother Hassan fled to Kenya. My sister Nima was married and moved away with her husband. So our family was like falling apart, the same way that my country was falling apart. My father knew the pigeons had to go, so he destroyed the birds where the pigeons were sleeping at night. So I had to train my pigeons to get used to the wildlife. But still, they would visit me a couple months later, and always flat would come back. But it was a tough situation in my country that was just separating me from my pigeons. But I was thinking, will there be a day that I will reunite with my pigeons again? The Islamists were training and recruiting young men for my age. One day they came to my house, like to everybody else's. They wrote down my name and my number, and then they wanted me to meet them the next Friday. I never went. But then 2 weeks later, they were bombing everywhere, and then they put a bomb in my house. The bomb in my house destroyed everything, including my room and my bed. Just like my pigeons, I had nowhere to sleep. Then I was forced to get used to the wildlife for a while. That was actually the moment I decided I had to leave. So while I was sleeping on the street, I met an American journalist called Paul Salope. Paul was the first American I ever met. My English was enough to tell my story. A few months later, my story has been documented on the American public media. Personal stories, stories of my life and my family. A woman named Sharon, who lives in Maine, heard my story, and then she sent me a plane ticket. I was on a plane headed to Uganda. I stayed in Uganda for one night, and I was in an oil truck, paid some guys some bribe so that I could sneak into Kenya because my brother's in Kenya and he was the only person I could stay with. Crossing from Uganda to Kenya is like crossing from Mexico to the United States. Like the Mexicans, Somalis are unwelcome in Uganda or Kenya. For 4 years as a refugee in Kenya, I was scared for my life because the Kenyan police were targeting Somalis every single day in the Somali neighborhood called Eastleigh. Once they find you, they will throw you in prison. The only way is to bribe your way out, which I did. 2 years ago, I immigrated to the United States because I won a green card lottery. Everything is different in the United States. Law-abiding people, big roads, cold days, people walking with dogs, cats, talking about food, animals, all these different things. We don't talk about that in Somalia. In the United States, people are afraid of spiders. We live with the spiders in Somalia. But we don't own dogs or cats in the house. They're wild. They eat my pigeons. Paul's pigeons took me back to my teenage days. My pigeons in Somalia might still be around. Because as far as I know, pigeons can live as long as 35 years. Who knows, my pigeon flat might still be around. My joy was with my pigeons, even though the city where I was living, Mogadishu, was burning around me. Paul becomes so sympathetic and offers me pigeons.
Are you interested in taking a few birds with you?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to.
Right now?
I'm not sure now. I just have
to
get...
Do you have a place for them?
I may miss my pigeons back home, but I will come and get some pigeons one day from Paul, and I will raise them the American way. For WCAI in Fall River, I am Abdi Iftin.
Abdi Iftin is an independent producer, and this piece was produced while he was a student at the Transom Story Workshop. He's currently working on a book project titled Call Me American. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.